Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, happy Transformational Tuesday to everybody. We thank you again for joining us here at the Transformational Cafe. We are excited. We've got Loren back from a couple weeks ago on show 219. We did an intro to yoga, calling it Yoga 101. Had some interesting things that we were going to be talking about. And tonight we've got Mr. Jamie joining us. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie, he's doing pretty good. Just ate dinner, and he's calling from Seattle, Washington, in the heart of the great Pacific Northwest.
All right. He'll be ready for we get done with the show. We can all sit up and start to get a large dessert and be able to share. I know that Lorraine would be up for that. Huh, Lorraine?
Always.
Yeah, yes. Like, bring it on. Let's bring it on. So, like Lorraine has a studio here in Riverside, California called Source Yoga. And if you go to her website, which is sourceyoga.com, she's got a full schedule of all different kinds of wonderful things that she's got going on there. And our last show, we were talking about the basics of, if you were a beginner, what should you know? That's one reason why we called it Yoga 101. And this time I'd really love to, we talked about a little bit before the show, about how to deepen a practice once we kind of moved out of that whole beginning phase and things like that. But there's just so much great information. And just in case we've got people on that hadn't listened to that first show, I'd love for us to just kind of back up just a little bit and then get into that deepening practice, because I'm sure that, you know, these are things that really go just on a lifelong journey with the practice. So the first one that you had talked about, Lauren, was that you needed to trust the process. You want to talk about that a little bit again?
Sure, because there were actually some things that I didn't get to say, so I'm so glad that we're starting with that. When I say trust the process, Robin, I mean that it's infinite, and it's not just yoga. It's not just physical yoga, I should say, which is asana. So there's yoga goes very deep, and the eight limbs were created by Patanjali. He's the father of yoga, and he is the one who put yoga in writing in the same way that we all spiritual beliefs have, like the Ten Commandments, the Eightfold Path for Buddhists. Yogis have the eight limbs, and physical practice is the third limb. That's called asana. The two steps before that are the yamas and the niyamas, which are constrictions and restraints, like nonviolence, self-study, purifying your body. So all encompassing, that covers a lot, and a lot comes up for you when you practice. So one of Yogi Bhajan's saying, because sometimes people cry during their kundalini practice or when you're opening your hips and your armpits, that's where a lot of emotions are stored. So you're literally picking up the mat and sweeping the dust from underneath it, and the dust gets in your eyes and you might cry. So it's something that we need to be patient with ourselves for, and to find good teachers to guide us with, and to really just enjoy the journey without rushing to get to the end, because we were talking about last week how there is no end. It's an infinite practice of self-study and learning about love. And when there's so many things going on around us, it's really important to tune in to your highest self, and that's what yoga does for you. So it can be very scary because we aren't used to looking inside. We're always observing what's going on outside, what other people are doing and things like that. So this is kind of new for a lot of people, and it's a beautiful process. So trusting the process is there's a huge release in that, of letting go of like trying to control your situation. And it's quite
your body
fun.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And your body,
your body on the mat. Yeah.
Right.
So one thing that we had talked about before at the last show too is it's that practice makes practice, and that was one of the other things that we reviewed about being patient with your body, and that practice makes practice. I think that's just such a wonderful perspective on that, and I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit more too.
Well, thank you, because that's been one of my practices since I started, is to just keep practicing, because yoga is like life. We fall out of a pose, or, you know, sometimes every day is different, every body is different. Sometimes you're more flexible than other days, but you get up and you keep trying. And the part of that practice is that we learn that on the mat, but then we take it off of the mat and into life. So if an idea doesn't work for you, or if, you know, someone says something and you get discouraged, you keep trying. So by physically practicing, you're learning all of the skills that you need in real life. Your hour practice on the mat doesn't end there by any means. Let me think what else I could say about practicing. Your practice is much deeper the more you practice, and we're going to go into that tonight.
Right, exactly. Well, you talked about being perfect. It's about being graceful and knowing what works for you, because I love what you said, too, that when it comes from sometimes it's a matter of being graceful when you're going through something that just isn't really right for you, and allow yourself to just go through that with the grace of knowing that, you know, this too, I don't know why I think of it, but it's like, this too shall pass. So it's one of those things where, and because I know in some of the practice, it's almost like, and this too, it just constantly from a level of really coming from surrendering yourself to something bigger than yourself. And I think that's something that I've learned from yoga, is being able to just embrace the moment of what your body, or what kind of process you have going on while you're on the mat. And that, like you're saying, it does really encourage you, knowing if I can do it here, I can do it anywhere.
Sure. And I've had those egotistical moments where I'm holding on to things that aren't meant for me. And that's not grace. Those have been some ungraceful moments. But I've really learned that in order to evolve and to help other people, you kind of have to go through the mud yourself, too. So, so it's in learning what's right for you, and we'll get to finding a good teacher and all of that. But there's a deep surrender in the practice, and that just opens up all kinds of opportunities for students and for people around them.
Yeah, and I think that when you do fall in the mud, I think you can learn to be grateful in the mud. That would be nice.
Yeah,
being able to have it from that perspective as well. Because a lot of it, I think, is being kind to yourself and coming from a place of willing to allow yourself to just show yourself in a way that you never thought you'd be able to just understand yourself in a place when there
Absolutely.
Is difficulty going on. Yeah, and I think that's one of the most graceful things we can do, is love ourselves when we know it is tough.
And that's practice as well.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then number three, you were talking about having fun, and then we talked about it, fun being
work. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And yoga and karma and work and effort, they're all work. Luckily, if you really embrace them, then you can consciously watch the benefits of your work. So having fun, I mentioned one of the Yoga Sutras, is recognize that the other person is you. And this means that there's God in you, and there's God in the people that are around you, and we're all connected as one. So that sounds so easy to say, but to really understand that concept, you have to go very deep, and you have to have a lot of experiences. But when you do get to that point, you are able to let go of your judgments of other people, judgments of yourself, any of the dislikes, just any of the lower vibrations, and then you're really able to see the truth and the beauty in people, and we're tested by that every single day. I was tested many times today, and I'd like to think that I acted lovingly and consciously to the people that are around me, and, you know, put myself in their situations, and, you know, if not, then you try again tomorrow. But there's a lot of freedom in not judging other people, because we are all each other's mirrors. You're my mirror, and I'm your mirror, and we're all learning from each other. And that's one of my favorite things about being a teacher, which I'll talk about that also a little bit later.
Okay, cool. So, again, you know, the show we want to focus on tonight is about how to deepen your yoga practice. So in having that beginning stage when you're learning to trust, you're learning to be patient with your practice, and knowing that practice makes more practice, and then seeking to understand that level of work. When is there a transition of saying the beginner to somebody who's more into an intermediate? Is it basically from the ability of what you can do on a physical level, or are there some new ways in that you've strengthened yourself mentally as well?
Oh, I love that question, Robin, because I actually am not a fan of putting labels on the practice of beginner, intermediate, advanced, and many studios have done that, and I've tried that, but when you get a class that's full of different people, how can you call it one thing? It hasn't worked for me. So I guess it's a personal shift that you feel. I mean, that's how it is for myself, or that's how it was, and I'm kind of only feeling it now, and I've been practicing for 13 years. So I actually, my first yoga training program, you were able to skip ahead if you were considered advanced. And being flexible and understanding the poses, I thought for sure I would be skipped, you know, saving some money in advance to some other classes. And my first experience in an Iyengar yoga class, we were just also talking about how Mr. Iyengar passed last week. So grateful for his teaching. My first experience was incredibly humbling because there was no way in the world I was going to advance. And I thought because I was a flexible person physically that I would be moved ahead. So I thought I was really good at yoga when I first started, and I was incredibly humbled and grateful that I was. And now I'm just starting to feel maybe a little more confident, and it's 13 years later. So I don't really believe in the beginner, advanced, intermediate. I think it's very personal, and there's a very deep understanding to your own practice. And I do have some tips for how to understand the time that we're in to help you understand where you are in your practice. There's some good ways
let's talk
to measure
about
that.
That sounds like a great, yeah. So what are some of the tips?
Okay, so I would like to share with you another part of the Yoga Sutras. There are five of them, and this next one is understand through compassion or you will misunderstand the time. So these are also from Patanjali. And the time that we're in let me just back up for just a moment. Sorry, I'm losing my place on my Yoga Sutras. Okay, understand with compassion or you will misunderstand the times. And I think that the first part of this sutra is important about the compassion, but also the second part of the need to understand the time that we're in. And that time that we're in is the Aquarian age. So you guys can Google it if you want to learn more astrologically about what the Aquarian age is, because it plays a huge part in us having confidence and self-respect. And it changes the way we've been looking at spirituality or the way that people look for resources or happiness and God outside of themselves. So in the time of the Aquarian age, we're now internalizing our search for God. Whatever God means for you, peace, light, unconditional love, we're finding it inside of ourselves. And that's how you deepen your practice. So let me just explain a little bit more about this shift in consciousness for those who are hearing this term for the first time. The Piscean age began around Jesus' time, and it ended around 2000. And now we're in this new area where before spiritual teachings were very hard to find. In most cases, they were taught from guru to student after years of devotion and service. And there were a lot of machineries and hierarchies, and information was just really hard to find. But now teachings are everywhere. Information is everywhere. Everything's on the internet, and you can't get away with doing anything, which is actually really great if you think of all of the corruption that's kind of uncovered. So if you think of it this way, the motto for the Piscean age was, I want to know. And now in the Aquarian age, the thought that is going around is, I know, therefore I believe. And many people are feeling this shift happening, and a lot of people don't know what it is, and that can feel a little bit awkward too. But this takes me to my step in deepening your practice, is to find the teachers and the teachings that you believe in, find your truths, and experience devotion. And Acharya Shri is my teacher. He's the one who taught me where love ends, devotion begins. And that's one of the most beautiful things that I heard, and I really held on to, because I was able to deepen my practice through devotion. So I can elaborate a little bit more.
Say that again for me, where love ends,
devotion begins.
Devotion begins. That's very nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful. So to understand the times of the Aquarian age, find a teacher to look inside, because we are our greatest guru. So we have ourselves as our teacher, and then, you know, we all need guidance as well. So find a teacher that works for you. And one of the things I've been teaching my students in class recently is that the acronym for guru, it stands for G, U-R-U, and that is with the most enthusiasm, the most excitement. It's like Eureka, U-R-U. It's not anything cliche to say that we learn from ourselves. So when I'm referring to learning, I mean not only from our experiences and consciously acting instead of reacting, but we're learning from our bodies. And that's how you deepen your practice. And this is one of the great things about yoga, because you become present when you're on your mat. So I tell my students, you are your greatest teacher. Learn from your body and detach from it, because we are not our bodies. And you were kind of mentioning that earlier, Robin. What we are goes so much deeper than your physical body. And Acharya Shri also taught me, you're not your hand, you're not your foot or your back. Otherwise, you would say, I am hand, I am foot, I am back, but nobody has ever said that. You say, my hands, my foot, because these parts definitely belong to you, they're yours, but they're not who you are.
Mm-hmm. So, Rena, I have another question for you.
Sure.
When you've got somebody sitting on the mat and you tell them that, you share that, you know, they have their own answers, and yet they've got so much chattering in the mind that they can't even listen to what those answers would be, what would be something that you help them to kind of tap into for themselves?
See, that's one of the blessings as a teacher, is I don't have to have the answers for them. My job is to shine light. So I connect them with their bodies through the physical practice. And when they're still, when they find that moment, and you can, if you're sensitive to energy, you can physically feel it happen in the room. You can feel the shift amongst the students. And that's when they are tapped into themselves. And the answers that they find inside, it can be something that they need to speak their heart to, or from their heart about something to somebody. It can just be feeling a moment of peace or love. But that's when they connect with their higher qualities. And that's when they learn from themselves through their body.
Okay.
In fact,
we have
a couple
callers.
Oh, sure.
Let me go ahead and activate a caller here and see if we have any questions. So hold on a second. Hi, caller. I'm calling. This is 4250. Did you have a question? Hello? Okay, I guess they don't. Hold on a second. And we'll go to the other caller here. Hi, caller, 8292. Did you have a question?
I just called in, so I'm not sure what this show is about yet.
Oh, okay. This is the Transformation Cafe, so thank you for joining us. We have our guest tonight, which is Lauren, and she is a yoga instructor, and we're talking about moving your practice from basic yoga into more of a deepening practice. Do you do yoga?
Okay, thank you. No, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay. So so we were talking about the different tips about finding a teacher and where love ends, devotion begins.
Right. And I wanted to share with you, Robin, I attended a very intimate, beautiful gathering last weekend with Robert Holden, who is an amazing Hay House author. And I met him through the University of Santa Monica and their spiritual psychology program, which I think you mentioned your sister graduated from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, USM.
So, he shared a beautiful analogy with with us that really touched me, and it was that our body is basically an outfit that we picked down to come to Earth in. So if you want to visit this planet and walk around, you need to put something on, and we chose our bodies and came here to have a spiritual experience. And that example just drives my point. I feel that we live inside our physical selves, but that's not who we are. And we connect to our souls through our bodies by, you know, eating light, being clean and pure. And that's one of the best ways that you can deepen your process also.
Keeping yourself clear and clear. I was journaling the other day, and I wrote the word clarity instead of clarity. It was clarity.
Aww.
Using clear with an IT on it. Yeah, and I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
That's clarity.
See, that's your inner teacher.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, that was so perfect about where do I move from that level of being clear and have it go out.
Yeah.
But clarity.
One other thing that I really hope this isn't new for people, but to connect with yourself, and we were talking earlier about finding self-respect and confidence, and that is to really be careful with who you let your energetic field come into touch with. So if you're attracting, basically is to, I hope we're learning to be around positive people. And if you're attracting a lot of people that are, they have a heavier chaotic energy, then a great way to deepen your practice and just improve your life is to clear your own energy through kriyas and meditation. And you can literally watch your standards rise. So I've lost a lot of people, and I know it can be difficult, but it's the best thing for you is to surround yourself with people that are light. And they don't have to necessarily do yoga, or they don't have to do any of these things. You can tell, you know, right away who has a positive outlook on life, because we basically need to make decisions that support our brightest future. And being around anybody that's dragging you down, that energetic pull kind of reaches out to other areas of your life. So that's been one of the best things I've done for myself and to deepen my own practice is to be around people that are kind of on that same wavelength that I'm on. And luckily there are a lot of good people in Riverside and good people everywhere. So I try to stick with those ones.
I mean, there's people everywhere, but I think we attract that kind of thing depending on where your mindset is. And that's a good measure for yourself is like, you know, who are the people I'm hanging around with and, you know, what's really kind of going on for them when it comes to levels of chaos or just, you know, clouded thinking and things like that too. And I'm sure with that too, it's looking at the media and just, you know, what are you exposing yourself to? What are you choosing to go to when it comes to movies and even just TV and all the other kinds of things that can really move into your energy and be affecting your mindset about what you think about or what you don't think about, that kind of thing too.
Yeah. So that's, especially when you become more sensitive, you feel it a lot more. And I used to feel bad if I didn't want to see a violent movie or things like that. But now I just know myself. I know that I'm not going to feel good after I watch that. And I've learned that I like to feel good. something that I pretty much thrive on. So I stay away from those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you're dealing with somebody and they've been doing yoga and all of a sudden they kind of have that shift, like a positive shift or something like that, have you seen that a lot with your students where they come in from a certain perspective and then you can just tell after a little while with their, because like you were sharing that, you know, the yoga is very personal. It's different for everybody. So depending on how that, I guess that's a good segue in really talking about, you know, how do you know you're deepening your practice when you really have just these different epiphanies or your perspective changes? Would you say that's true?
Yeah. Oh, every day. I absolutely love it because I get to see that shift and, you know, get the hugs after class. And the important thing I learned from when I spent some time in India, one of the teachers there, she explained to me my role, and then she told me that I need to stay humble. And because, you know, after, and all teachers do, I've seen many teachers, you know, they kind of not particularly in my studio. It doesn't happen, but I've seen people, it goes to their head, and they think, everybody is listening to me, and everybody's following me in the class, and it's me, me, me. But the truth is, especially with yoga, you're downloading the information through the golden chain, which are the teachings mm-hmm. before us. And to have a humble heart is something that's it's a must. If you don't have that, you're not going to make it as a teacher. And when I was in India, and the guru, he shared a story about how a donkey was always beat up and had a horrible life. And then one day the people used the donkey to carry some deities. And suddenly the donkey's walking through down the street, and all the people were bowing to him. And, you know, they put beautiful clothes on him, and he just felt so good that he thought, I don't need to carry this load. Everybody loves me. And he kicked off the deities off of his back, and, you know, everybody was angry with him and completely freaked out and weren't nice to the donkey at all. So the point is, don't ever let it go to your head when you make that shift for the class. It wasn't you. It's never me. It's always the infinite. It's God working through us. And I'll always remember that story and try to stay on that humbled path, because none of what has happened for me is through my doings at all. And that kind of takes me to one of my points about gaining confidence and deepening respect for yourself, and that is to be a teacher. And I've learned so much from my students. They've taught me what it is to be a community. I had no idea how to do that before them, and now because of them, I've been able to give back to other places that needed support. So I needed to learn about community, and I've learned that from my students. So I highly recommend, Yogi Bhajan says, let me see if I had some quotes I wanted to share with you. And by the way, today is Yogi Bhajan's birthday, so happy birthday to the
happy
teacher
birthday.
Who made everything. Yeah, we had a nice party for him this morning. But he said, if you want to learn something, read about it. If you want to understand something, write about it. And if you want to master something, teach it. So if you're looking to deepen your practice or deepen respect for yourself or anything it is that you're looking to master, then teach it. And it doesn't have to be in like a set class with, you know, all of these different standards around it. We can be teachers every day to the people in front of us. And there's a very big deal in teaching, because in order to be a good teacher, you need to do it yourself too. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gone through a handful of teachers, and the reason why is because they weren't all practicing what they were preaching. So if if a teacher tells you to be nonviolent, but he's eating animals himself, those words will never go into your soul. So it's important to find a teacher that is actually doing what he's teaching, because then you hear the words. And that's what happened with me, with my teacher, Achari Shri, who he's actually coming to the studio this Thursday.
Exciting.
And that's, yeah, he's doing an open lecture on deepening your spirituality. So,
that's perfect.
That, right? I would love for you to come, Robin. Yeah. It's
6:30,
yeah.
So, I'd love to come. Okay.
Know. Good, good. Because to be around a holy person like that is great, great energy, great karma. And he's the real deal. So I'm very honored and excited to have him in the studio again.
Okay. Well, we've got about 90 seconds left, so I want to make sure that we cover some information for people that Loren is going to be starting yoga teaching. So if anybody wants to become a teacher, she's going to be having you want to tell them when that's going to be starting? And
absolutely. It's starting September 5th, which is a Friday. It's every Friday. We'll start about 6:30, and it's a 200-hour yoga certification through Yoga Alliance, encompassing Hatha yoga, Iyengar yoga, Kundalini yoga, prenatal yoga. We're going to learn a lot of different styles, and then it's one weekend every 3 months. So we'll get 200 hours, and we're going to do some yoga trips, field trips to the Vedic temple, and it's open to everybody. If you want to teach or deepen your practice, this is the way to do it.
Okay, that's perfect. A contact number for the Yoga Source is going to be 951-500-5009. And again, it's yoga, sourceyoga.com if anybody has anything else on that information. So next show, we're going to talk about children yoga. Yeah, the kids out there doing yoga. So I'm really excited about that one because, gosh, I know that since I was young, I've really just loved that. And I'm always hearing kids, you know, when they talk about yoga and go, oh, I want to try that. That looks like it'd be something great. So I'm anxious to hear about that, too. So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you for sharing the light on
you're
the kids'
a wonderful
yoga
guest
and everything.
And we always learn so much good stuff. So tune in next time for the children's yoga.
Soon.
Okay, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
Great. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.